that they will never be among those friends you prepared a banquet for. You prepared a table for. And they were too blessed with the blessings you gave them to come back and just to eat and to sup with you. You said you will go to the byways. We will never be substituted for the byways and the hedges. No opposition will be replaced because of the cares of life. Father, we know excuses for us. You are the reason why we are. We will always come and eat at your table. We'll come and eat at your table. We'll come and eat at your table. We'll come to celebrate your mercy towards us. We'll come to celebrate your goodness. Father, many of us have been dead by now. We are alive to worship you. You are the only one that keeps us on the highways, on the roads. Father, we have every reason to come back and say, you are the reason we're here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Father, I want to thank you for everyone that has made themselves available to serve you in every capacity. Father, thank you for those who, because of them, others are watching this online. Thank you for those who are working privately. Father, thank you for those who make this battery possible for us to speak. Thank you for those who sing, giving themselves over to lead us in worship. Thank you for those who help us in every way and nobody knows. Father, thank you for everyone and every way we're here today because of the obedience. Father, we want to say we're grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful. May we continue to use our gifts and our skills to honor you, Lord. To honor you. Not only for the world, but to give glory to you. It is profitable to serve you. And we say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Beautiful to serve God. So beautiful. So beautiful. So beautiful. I lived 28 years of my life serving myself, my own ambition, only to find how useless it was when I found God. And find my purpose. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Whenever I have the opportunity to stand here, it is a very, very weighty thing for my spirit. I've learned that when you stand here, you're not representing yourself. You have chosen to represent the heart and the mind of God. That's a serious thing. So I make sure that I really desire from God not to speak my mind or my desire, but to be obedient. And there are three things that I always pray, three things that affect us, three things that we live in, that when I stand here, I say, God, you know where your people are. You are the only one that can speak to everybody at the same time and meet them at the point of their needs. So, the three things that I'm always mindful of is that we are a spiritual being. We have a soul and we live in a body. And these three areas of our life, not one can be neglected. Majority are not aware of the spiritual side, even though many might be Christians. Some are aware of the soulish side, but they don't really know what it is because of the struggle they go through that nobody else knows. But inside it's like they are fighting a beast all the time, harassing them. Physically, that's the one majority are familiar with, because we eat, we drink, and we go about our jobs and our daily business. This life, spirit, soul, and body, is more than a job. It's more than money. It's more than the social activities we do. It has a soul. And the soul is where many of us battle, but we don't know that's the battle we face. And then we have a spirit, which is our original purpose and our final destination. So these are the things that comes to mind every time I stand here. God will address you in these areas. You don't come here and be all spirit and never allow what you hear shift your struggle. And then having victory in your struggle, you are able to physically be successful in what you do. Before I read some scriptures for us to look at what the Lord is leading me to share, I also want to mention this. This spirit, soul, and body that God has made man to be. Before we were born again, it's already been programmed without the knowledge of God. The world we live in is already programmed by the nature of sin, which is the absence, a culture that thrives on the absence of God. It's already programmed. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were already programmed to live without the existence of God that they used to have. So they depended on their strength, but their strength was nothing to be compared to the demonic powers of Pharaoh and their culture. So they ended up becoming what you call a mentality of slavery. And what that means, they only lived, they wake up, lived to work, to build the pyramids of Egypt, to build a culture of Egypt, to build a system of Egypt. there was nothing, no consciousness of the building, the kingdom of God. So they lived in that atmosphere of darkness, and of course, the culture of the world. So they were programmed to think without God. Everybody today that is not born again is under that system. Right now. Anybody that's not born again is already programmed by Satan and the darkness of this world to think outside of God and live without Him. Already programmed with a destination. So the difference when we get saved, they come out of Egypt, is first spiritually, there is a reprogramming of destiny. And that reprogramming is God now coming into the picture and saying, I am really God. I created you and I want you to be my people. And I want to show you the way to enter into your promise and what I have for you. So they come out of Egypt. That's the picture. So they come out of Egypt. Then I have to deal with the soul, which was already programmed in Egypt to think and act a certain way. They now have to deal with their physical expectation, which is the culture of the world and the way the world assesses success and life. So working with God now have to completely start a totally deprogramming of the world's culture and system, both from the soul and the physical aspect. That's the picture of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Now, when the children of Israel could not completely understand that and allow their soul to be completely transformed by God, they could not really enter into what God has for them, except a few. And when they entered into the promised land, and they entered into their breakthrough, and what God had for them, they still did not understand that in the world system and the culture of the world, they have to maintain a discipline, a lifestyle of what God has given to them, so that they can completely walk in the programming of God called destiny to overcome falling back to the culture of the world. So when they came out and they didn't sustain that, they ended up in Babylon. Now Babylon is an atmosphere you battle with after you're born again. What does that mean? The Babylonian Empire, or Babylon, the spirit of Babylon, is when you, the children of Israel, were already come out of Egypt, they are God's people, but they are now taken over into another culture, another system. But what the system does is, it doesn't behave like Egypt, where they enslave you and make you poor. This is what Babylon does. The culture of Babylon, what they do is, I'll give you money, I'll give you everything you need for life, but I will take your God away from you. I will give you freedom, liberty, I will give you a new name. You can be citizens of our country. You can answer our name. You lose your identity. You are now from Hananiah to, from Meshach to Mishael, and all this change of names. Babylon changes your identity, gives you all the money you can live on, gives you all the pleasure you desire, gives you total liberty. But the only condition is you must worship the God of Babylon. So those are the two cultures we deal with. One, before you come out of the world, you are completely in darkness. And you think you're living when there's no life there. That's what the world portrays. That's what Satan portrays. When you come out of this, oh my God, I can't believe I was in darkness. I'm saved, I'm born again. But now you're in a different culture that now says, if you do not follow the ways of God, the GPS system of God, the ways of God, you will now fall a trap to Babylonian culture, which is you have liberty, you can do what you want, live the way you want, but just don't bring God with you. That's where we are. There is nobody in this room that has a job, that goes to your workplace and they give you how the company is to succeed and they give you your job description. There is no business in this world that does not require consistency and diligence from you, or you don't get paid. A lot of us want God to reward us, spirit, soul, and body, with absolute no discipline in serving Him or committed to His ways. Your company pay you because you're there from morning to eight. You do everything to the latter that they ask you. They pay you. But we go, we think there's no discipleship. The kingdom is so haphazard. It doesn't have process. It doesn't have any guideline. Just anyhow. Come when you like, do when you like, and God, I must make it. Mm-hmm. We are, as a believer, the reason why it's so important to be a disciple. Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple if you don't keep my words, if you don't keep my laws, if you don't do the things I've commanded, you cannot. Why is Jesus saying that? Because the world system we live in is already under program for darkness and for destruction, to steal, kill, and destroy. It's already programmed. So the only way you deprogram and rule over the culture of the world is that you maintain a discipleship lifestyle. And that will break, give you leverage in the spirit, break the soulish connection to the world, and release you to be even over, to rule over your flesh and rule over the culture of the world. We call it disciple, but basically what it is just discipline. And the things of God is not quantity, it's just the discipline. Even if it's an hour, you commit to God. Even if it's 30 minutes, be consistent. Be disciplined, and you will see results. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's why the Bible says many times, God says, I'm not a liar. Say, prove me. Prove me. Prove me. Psalms 1, David says, day and night, meditating, and see the fruit. You will be like this. Joshua, day and night, you will be successful. You possess. Everybody successful in the world knows what diligence is, knows what consistency is, knows what time is. But the kingdom of God is just anyhow. And we want to see breakthrough. So the reason it's important to be consistent with God is you can never escape the programming of this culture. It's too strong without being consistent with God to break it and then to triumph over it. Amen.
Amen.
I want to, after 55 days of being at the tabernacle, it was not man's made. It carried a very heavenly assignment. And the breakthrough that has come out of that is unbelievable. And the atmosphere that we are living in now is amazing. And without understanding, it will be like Job's, Jacob, I never knew heaven is open over me. I never knew I'm literally under the gate of heaven. I never knew that angels are transacting business with me. So, to be able to sustain what we have, God has given to us, and the breakthrough that has come tonight, I want to encourage every worship team leader, the media people, and all the evening prayer group to be here tonight. Everybody is for everybody, but it's important that those groups that are serving the church here, so that we can. I want to go through a little bit to explain how we are to host what we have received properly. And you will see the fruit of it.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to read a few scriptures this morning just to give us some idea where we are and what we are doing and what God is doing. 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16, I'll read verse 1. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offering before God. Verse 4. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Verse 6. Benaiah also and Jehaziel, the priests, with the trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Verse 37. So he left there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren. Listen to this: to minister before the ark continually, as every day's work required. Then, if you don't mind, I want you to see this. Just two pages back, 1 Chronicles 13:3. This is David now speaking to the people, saying, let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the what? Days of Saul. Amen.
Amen.
Father, open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. And give us hearts understand to obey. That we might eat the good of the land. And we might possess our possession.
Amen.
And walk in our inheritance. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We have looked at this before. But to explain where we are in a figurative way and a very spiritual way, the reason I'm bringing this is after this tonight's teaching and stuff, the training we're going, it's a lifestyle we're going to start enjoying. Both Sundays and through the week, that will leave you without a doubt, we are under an open air. The difference, the distinguishing factor between Israel and every other religion in the world, the difference between Israel and every other nation in the world, that they had the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represented physically in the tent of Moses and the tent of David the presence, the glory of the creator of the universe. Moses says, how can the world know that we are different? What distinguishes us from the rest is it not that your glory is with us, your presence goes with us. And God told him exactly how his presence will go with them. And the main thing was the ark. Amen?
Amen.
So now, the reason why we call it the Tabernacle of David, the Tabernacle of David, not just of Moses, because that was just a sacrifice that only one man can go into. Call it the Tabernacle of David is because I shared it the last time I was here, but please pay attention. It's because when Saul was the leader of Israel, and the assignment and the mantle of a leader is to be a good steward of hosting God for his people and making sure the people of God are steered towards the purposes of God. You're not to rule like the rest of the world. The reason you're called to be a leader is to make sure the purposes of God are available for the people and their destinies with God are very clear. That's why God didn't want them to have a king in the first place, because he is the king. So now they have a king, somebody can walk through. The Bible says, I read it to you, that they did not inquire of the Lord all the days of Saul. If you are given a position and the purpose of the position is to manifest, to serve, and to encourage, to steward, to host the presence of God and to cause the nation to be aware of who they are, and you completely did not inquire or wait or serve the one that put you in that position, that's I don't know how to describe that. But because of that, God used Saul to show to us as Christians, we can be in church, we can be God's servant without serving God. Why? Listen, everything I'm saying about Israel is about us, about me. How could somebody like Saul, how could somebody be given a privilege, a position, and blessed as he is, and never fulfill serving God? How could that be? How could a Christian come to church? How could you be a believer and not really be serving God? Why? Because God is not a tax master. God is not an imposer. For one reason, he has given everyone a free will. He's the only one that can do that. Satan is a tax master. You must! God shows us what is required of us. God reveals all the grace and power available. God does everything. Then he shows us what is evil, what disobedience, what evil will do. He did it to Adam. He did it to everyone. He did it to Israel. This will bless you. This. And he tells them, I'll leave you to obey or disobey. Why? Because he has given us a free will. So Saul is like every believer that God has called into this glorious kingdom, giving these amazing privileges. But now, you have your will to choose if you keep his commandment or not. The difference between Saul and David, Saul is not a disciple. A disciple is the one who you are giving a free will but chooses to surrender the will to your master and do what he wants. So, when Saul was serving, he has come to a point now, he's becoming so detrimental to the destiny of Israel. He's becoming so imposing himself now upon the people. God now says, I reject you. And God went behind the wilderness in the desert and found a man, a young man, that was not looking for position. He was not looking for titles. He was not looking for other things. He was working for his father. He was doing his job, but the priority of his life is, how can I please God? How can I find God, and how can I please him? He has brought us through so much. The God of our fathers, I must find you, I want to know you, and all I want to do is to please you and to serve you. This young man in his job, that's all he was doing while he was at work for his father. All he was doing. And God had his heart. Amen?
Yeah.
And his name is David. So when Saul was rejected, God was basically saying this. All of us, as long as we live, where Israel were children, are you? Where are you? What are you doing with your life as a believer? Are you serving God with your life? Or are you serving you? Or who are you serving? The world? David came, and David truly went after the heart of God. Amen?
Amen.
So what I read to you now was, after many years, God brought David through and made him king. David made a decision. The first thing he did, you can go from 1 Chronicles 12 down 13. Immediately they made him king. The first thing he started requiring was, I cannot rule outside of the one who is really the ruler of Israel. Amen?
Amen.
How did he do it? He did it by waiting on the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
He did it by seeking the face of the Lord. And then to bring the nation into it, he says, we cannot move further unless we inquire of the Lord. How can we inquire of the Lord if what represents his presence is not there? If the ark is not there? Amen? So he went about, how do I bring the glory? How do I bring God back in the church? Isn't that amazing? He's bringing God back where people have served 40 years. Saul served 40 years and God was not there. Jesus knocked at the door of a church in Revelation 3. I was knocking to come in. What is the church doing? That particular church. Were they serving God? If he's knocking from the outside to come in. Where are you? So, what has happened is that David said, told Israel, we cannot call ourselves the people of God, and God is not in our midst. We must bring him back. Amen?
Amen.
And he brought him what? Back. So that's what I read to you. So now when you bring him back, you bring the ark back, what do? You host him. Amen?
Amen.
If you invite somebody to your house, you don't leave them and walk away. Especially if you invite somebody as your master, as your Lord, as everything. You host him. You host him. How do you host him? Because he's a spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And he's God. So David created a tent, a tabernacle. So they brought the ark and they put it there. So if you put it, you just leave it. So they put the ark there, and then what they now did was, he now, God gave him a revelation. And the revelation is what we read today in the book of Revelations 4 and 5. Revelations 4, God showed the throne room of God. When you bring, he brought the ark. So the throne room of God is now in the tabernacle in the Israel. What do you do with the throne room? Well, Revelations 5 says, this is what happens in the throne room of God. They worship him with instruments, heavenly instruments, and they worship and they honor him and the Lamb. And then as they do that, things begin to happen. God begins to speak, God begins to do things. And then God is now really in charge. So that's what David did. And when David did it, he pleased God so much. He says, I found me a man after my heart who will do all that is in my heart. That's why today is called the key of David. Amen?
Amen.
So he raised up musicians, singers, and they made that their job, their calling. And they hosted the presence of God. And from there, visions come. Dreams come, words come, and they were writing, making record of them. We call most of them today the book of Psalms. It all came out of the tabernacle. Asaph, all of them, you see their names in the book of Psalms. They were receiving visions. How do you receive visions? The book of Joel 28 says, it's when the presence of God is come in your midst. When the Spirit of God is in your midst, you begin to see visions and you begin to dream dreams and things begin to happen. There's a transaction between heaven and earth because the portals of heaven has opened. So when the ark comes, you don't just keep the ark there and say, God, you're here, let's continue to do our own thing. First of all, you have to understand who just came back. Who? And then you begin to honor him on earth as it is in heaven. And as you begin to do that, the moment you begin to see him and hear him and experience him, it begins to change your will to his will. And that's only through waiting on him. That's where God will be able to show you, do this, do that, do this. Then the kingdom of God is really working. Amen?
Amen.
So, it's not easy for the flesh. Amen?
Amen?
I'm telling you, it's not easy for the flesh. If it's easy, everybody will be doing it. But that's the discipline that you have to do until you break that stubbornness of our will to do things our way 24/7. What does that take? It's not quantity, it's quality. Daniel just chose, who knows, maybe it was 30 minutes, maybe it was an hour, three times a day, morning, afternoon, evening. He was the busiest person in the king's palace. But he knew he lives in that secret place. But the consistency is what God was looking for. And they found it, like David. So he goes there, whether it snows, he goes there, whether it shines. He goes there, whether Satan makes a law and says, don't go there, because that's his life. That's all God required. He was hardworking, but that 30 minutes or that 1 hour he has to be with God can never be compromised. All through the Bible, you see people like that, but David was the one who made it a lifestyle for the body of Israel. And that's what Jesus came to give us. Now, why did I say this? Why did I bring it up this way? My brothers and sisters, thank God today we have something we can relate to called a GPS. When you put the GPS and you're going towards a destination, when do you begin to put that GPS? Is it when you get there or before you leave? You put it before you leave, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then the GPS will guide you.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes.
The book of Acts. We can never, just not like what David did. We can excuse all we want, but the foundation, the beginning of what we call the church today is with the presence of God. Is with worship, is with prayer, is a house of worship. Say, house, my house shall be called a house where people wait in my presence. I will make it a house of business. Strategic, 3 point, 5 point, how to do this, 7 point, how to do that. Rather than wait on the one who knows how to do it. And let him lead us. So the problem we've had, like the days of Saul, happened for 40 years. Problem we've had is, we didn't know what the church is. So what we have called church, it's hard for us to overcome now, because that's what we're used to. So God is bringing us back to Him. God is restoring what church really is. It's ecclesia. It's the people, the sons and daughters of God, who assemble to worship, to wait, and out of that, they are empowered and impacted to rule over circumstances and to become stewards of God's authority in the earth. Amen?
Amen.
So what God has been doing has been preparing us. And this tabernacle we just experienced, after 30 years of waiting in this place, and waiting and waiting, I told you about waiting, I finally now saw why God says set up the tent to the shadow. Because you wait, what am I waiting for? It's like, what am I? We're waiting. We all love God. We all enjoy God. We all like to serve God. But during these 55 days, the portals open. What does it mean, the portals open? What are we talking about? Let me briefly say this, and then we'll close. You see this Bible? This is called the letter of the word. Amen. We are spirit. We live, you have a soul, and we live in a body. The first entrance of this world, you have to put in your head. Knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. First, you have to have knowledge of this. And then, as you have knowledge of it, then the Spirit of the Lord, as you're born again, will begin to. It's like if you don't put anything in GPS, you're not going anywhere. If you don't put anything here, the Spirit of God don't have what to work with. If you don't put this in your head, what will the Spirit of God work with? The Spirit and the Word are one. If you don't put, I'm going to 24th Street, New York Road, New York, the GPS will take you anywhere you like. Amen?
Amen.
So first, the Bible says, meditate on this. Have this programmed in you. Have knowledge. And then the Spirit of God will now bring understanding. It's called revelation. Now, when you go from knowledge to understanding to revelation, out of obedience, you now go to manifestation. Manifestation is now where transformation takes place. You begin to go from slavery to sonship. You begin to go from thinking that you're human to you are a son of God. Not just knowledge anymore. And from knowledge to understanding to transformation to now thinking like a child of God, you begin to see things that you never thought was possible. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, you can't see with natural eyes. But when you start going from knowledge to understanding, understanding that transforms your soul, cuts off the flesh, you begin to find out that even though you're a spirit man, talk to spirit man.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Why will Daniel be having visions? Why will, what kind of dreams were, or visions were Ezekiel having? Was it an empty air? They were seeing things that are real in the spirit. They were communicating with the spiritual world. Angel comes to Daniel and said, this is what God is planning to do. This is what it did. This is what was happening in the spirit. They were poor, were experiencing stuff. It's not knowledge. Knowledge is for the human mind. Understanding gives light. And light causes your spirit man to see who you are and where you're going. And then in the spirit, you begin to find out the spirit world is very real. I didn't know. I just thought it's something I need to just premeditate. Why is the spirit world real? How does this word eventually change you and you start relating to real things in the spirit? The Bible says, in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was what, God? Was with God. And the Word was what? So we all talk to God, we pray. But guess what? The Bible says, there came a time when the Word what? Was in this flesh. And dwelt among us. Isn't it? So this Word was, there was a point, it was no more knowledge, it was a person. It was a person. People talked to him. People related to him. And things happened. Human beings don't do miracles. Just the fact they are in this covered carnal flesh does not mean they are human beings. Human beings don't do miracles. Human beings don't speak to circumstances and the bow. Especially situations that are spiritually orchestrated. That's not human beings' job. That's transformed human beings' job. I was telling you this story of it's so real to me because of this. How can two people cross a place? They were here on this side of Jordan, they crossed a place to this side. Because they crossed that place, two of them were talking. And he says, if you see this, you will get this. And as they were talking, a human being saw chariots, things you don't see in the natural, saw them, came, took another human being and took off. Are we reading the same Bible?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And you're telling me to work for pizza and work for hamburger, and that's what I'm here to do.
Mercy.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word. God became flesh. What became flesh? The Word. My brothers, there comes a point when this Word is not a man talking to you, not knowledge talking to you. As you read it, somebody's talking to you. And it's not knowledge. It's a person. There's a place you read this Word. It's no more, what are they talking about? This Word begins to formulate pictures. They begin to become vision. And all of a sudden you find out, Lord, are you speaking to me? And you find out it's already there. That's the difference. The letter kills, but the spirit is the river of life. So when you say there's an open heaven, what does it mean, an open heaven? It's a place where those who have been waiting on God, the things their eyes have never seen, will start seeing. The things their ears are, what are they hearing? Because there's a transformation that has taken place. And now heaven feels I can open myself to them. We can work together now. But how are you going to work together if you're not going to wait on the one who knows the way and knows exactly what he wants to do? So that's where we are. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody can do what they want. And church and what, but like David, we're going after this heart of God. And we want to wait on him. And as we wait on him, when you say prophecy, what is all this? Is somebody picking up something in the spirit? You don't pick up prophecy all the time at Walmart or Walgreens. Amen?
Amen?
Why is it that you pick it up here? It's not that you're picking it up here. It's because you are in the place of you've made room. Thus, you can pick it up at home. You can pick it up anywhere. My closet, heaven meets me there every time. So why, what does that mean? Open heaven does not mean something is closed. Heaven, open heaven simply means that you're matured enough to begin to access God by the Spirit. For those who know him and worship him, it's now in the Spirit. It's always there. It has opened in you. I know this is too much for a lot of us, but I just want you to know it's simple. Yes, receive. Receive. Yes, Lord. Please just play on the keyboard and we'll go from here. Let's just meditate on the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you. we honor you. We worship you. We worship you. You are beautiful. You are so beautiful. King of glory. You are beautiful. So beautiful.